You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
It is January 3rd, 2020. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. At the beginning of the 20th century, the great empires that ruled the world, the French, the British, the American, the Russian, the Japanese empires, at the end of the 20th century, only one empire existed. Only one was remaining. That was the American Empire. What destroyed those empires? War. All of them. So as we look at the strike on the Iranian general, General Soleimani, it is a very sobering time to be so close to what could be a very, very bloody war in the Middle East, widening into other parts of the world. So, on this January 3rd, 2020, I am going to bring you the best information possible about what is going on with this event, what it will lead to, the best possible commentary, because history as our guide, as the great Patrick Henry said, I light my path with the lamp of history. I know of no other way of illuminating that path, but of looking at the past. And so we are on the brink of something. It feels that way, doesn't it? History is in the air. So I'm going to open up the phone lines today because I always like to hear from the listeners. As you look at this strike on the Iranian general Soleimani and what that means, of course, 2019, its final act was to give us this last bit of 2019's ghost, which was the attack on the embassy in Iraq. And as an Iraq war veteran, the ghost of watching the paratroopers from Fort Bragg on their way to go to the Baghdad area to secure the green zone is very disheartening for me, because it's a war that never ends. It is perpetual war for perpetual peace, and our country is suffering greatly because of that. We also will have in this show, in the second hour, we'll have Alex Jones in studio to discuss this event and the escalation, possible escalation of the war in Iran. This president elected on a message of peace and of bringing the troops home, a non-interventionist foreign policy, one of the great wins in his sails to victory in 2016, that is going to be tested. There are wars and rumors of wars, and I want to know what you think. The number is 888-201-2244. Again, I am your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. And of course, we all want David Knight to come back very soon. I'm as much as I enjoy and being here in the studio with this great crew, I much prefer to hear the news from the master, from David Knight himself, and I'll be looking forward to his swift return back to the chair. But in the meantime, we'll keep it safe and we'll keep it warm for him, and we'll try to give you the best possible information that we can. Again, the number is 888-201-2244. When we return, a video with Alex Jones on the strike that killed the Iranian military leader, and what this is, what this means, and what you can expect. Also, some images from Tucker Carlson, who had the exact same idea that I did when I heard about the strike. Stay tuned. This is the David Knight Show. We'll be right back.
deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
This strike is going to be remembered as one of the most effective military strikes in the last 20 years, as far as the far-reaching implications it will have.
For all intents and purposes, the United States is now at war with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Whether you support that, whether you hate that, whether you're neutral about that, that's what's happening. As you know, a few days ago, the U.S. Embassy, the Green Zone in Baghdad, got overrun by Iranian militias. As you know, the Iranians have been involved in a lot of provocative activities in the Persian Gulf, the Strait of Hormuz. There's a big proxy war between the West via Saudi Arabia and Iran going on right now. The facts are that just a few hours ago, the head of the Iranian military and the head of the Iranian militia, which is Hezbollah, which is a Shiite revolutionary force all over the world, were meeting in Baghdad at a tarmac. And as they came together, a missile or a bomb landed between them, killing them and other leadership of the Iranian military. Now, I told you this years ago, and it's been confirmed. Iran has sleeper cells all over the West, real groups that can carry out terror attacks. And they're promising responses back to the West right now. But the fact that this happened means that we are in a state of war with Iran. What we do know is they're reporting that Iranian top general Qasem Soleimani, who's the head of the main military and the head of the militia, which is their paramilitary force around the world, is dead. And Iran has major sleeper cells, as we've reported years ago, and is now being reported in mainstream media across the Western world. So this is a big, big deal. There is a Shiite-Sunni civil war going on in the Middle East and around the world, and this has exploded. Now, I have talked to a lot of my military sources, and I was getting calls at 5 a.m. this morning saying the U.S. is committed, it's on, it's going kinetic. And I went on air and I said that today. And then during the show, I got texts and I said, hey, it's on. That the U.S. is committed. Marines are going in. They've got assets in the air. And now this happens. This is not like taking over Iraq. This is not like what we've seen in other Middle Eastern countries. This is Iran. These are Persians. And this is going to be a very dangerous situation. So one of my military sources that I've talked to, I'm going to call him right now. We're not going to say his name. He's going to tell you some of the things that he's talked about with his sources and why this is so serious, and I'm going to leave it at that. But we've talked to generals. We've talked to people down at the special operations level before this even happened and since this happened. They said this is going kinetic in a big way. It's already gone kinetic. So let's go ahead and make this call to one of my sources.
Hello.
Hey, I'm not going to say your name. You're just one of the folks we've talked to tonight. But if you could just repeat some of the things you and your sources have basically ascertained about how serious this is for some of the viewers.
Well, this is obviously very, very big news that the commander of the Quds forces and the popular mobilization forces over there have been killed. Now, if this is true, and the reason I say if, especially with Soleimani, there have been numerous reports in the past of him being killed, and those reports proved not to be true. However, this time there appears to be confirmation from the Iraqis themselves. Three senior Iraqi officials have stated that they saw the ring that the major general is known to wear, that they saw that on the charred body, and that they confirmed through that it was him. So if that's true, a lot of people are already saying this is bigger than the killing of Osama bin Laden. This is bigger than Baghdadi from ISIS. This is huge because the Quds, of course, are a central part of the Iranian military apparatus. And the major general had been listed as a terrorist by the U.S. So this is a huge blow to Iran. And while it's good news in many ways, it also escalates the situation over there now. There is no doubt that Iran will have to respond in a spectacular fashion to these two deaths if they want to maintain the loyalty of their military. If they don't, the Iranian leadership knows they're looking at a possible coup within their own country, because the military will turn on them if they don't retaliate for the killing of their commanders. So this is very huge, as big as it gets, and probably the most significant event to happen in the Middle East in the last 20 years.
I was told by my sources today that it was going to go kinetic, and now that's certainly happened. And regardless of what side, quote, people are on, this has already been initiated, as you said. And the different ways the Iranian militia or Hezbollah embedded around the world could respond is very, very serious. But they're always acting covertly and then not taking responsibility. The U.S. is not taking responsibility. A lot of U.S. publications are saying the U.S. killed these guys. But that's probably who did kill them. But I don't think you can safely say who did it exactly just because mainstream media is saying so.
Well, and that's true, and that's a good point. However, I don't think that's going to matter to the Iranians. The Iranians have already, not the Iranians, but their Shia-backed militias in Iran have already made statements that the American and Jewish and Israeli enemy are responsible for this. So they are already laying the groundwork to their people to rise up against the Americans and by proxy to the Israelis as well, to rise up against the Israelis.
And let's be clear, this isn't going to just be like Iraq, which didn't have a very competent international network. The Iranians did have a very strong international terrorist network.
Absolutely. And not only that, there's a lot of allegiances, both overtly and covertly, that Iran has over there in the Middle East. They have very strong backing, and they have emerged over the last 10 years as one of the preeminent power players in that region, and they're not backing down. They're not going to back down from this. This is an escalation that's going to draw a lot more countries in before it's said and done.
Talking to your sources, if you can just repeat some of the things you said. I mean, they're saying there's no way to ratchet this down right now. I mean, they're expecting this is just going to really just escalate.
Yeah, at this point, it's beyond trying to, you know, say, hey, let cooler heads prevail. That ship has sailed. I talked to a former, a retired brigadier general just a few minutes ago, and he has said this has definitely crossed a line as far as Iran is concerned. And, for them to maintain control in the region, at least among their own people, they're going to have to retaliate. There's no turning back from this.
And to repeat what we talked about, this is really a miscalculation by Iran, because they thought Trump was Obama or others. They've been doing this a long time. Why would they dare fly into Iraq? Why would they be, trying to stage an uprising in Iraq? I mean, regardless of which side people are on here, and I'm neutral, and I want peace, like President Trump said. But he said this is not a warning. This is a threat. I mean, this takes it into a whole other level. As you said, they're going to say the United States did this regardless, and so this is now basically off the races.
This strike is going to be remembered as one of the most effective military strikes in the last 20 years, as far as the far-reaching implications it will have. And, I don't think there's ever been a time that we remember here on this war on terror where a person, a terrorist, takes place in an assault on a U.S. embassy and within 24 hours is killed, by a U.S. strike, if it was a U.S. strike. I mean, the deputy commander of the Popular Mobilization Forces was at the U.S. embassy during that attempt to breach the embassy. And here we are 24 hours later, not only is he killed, but... here we are 24 hours later, not only is he killed, but one of the most powerful men in Iran's military apparatus is killed along with him. And those are just the two big ones.
So the message is the U.S. isn't playing games anymore, and that means Iran really miscalculated.
Absolutely, they did. You can look back on Benghazi. You can look back on all these different situations, all the way back to the Arab Spring, where we continuously allowed these mobs to be stirred up by the Iranians and thrown against our sovereign institutions over there in that region. And there were no repercussions. And now that game has changed overnight. And it's changed in a very, very dramatic way. They didn't just kill some small cell leader who was out there, burning the flag. They killed the two most powerful men in that entire region, and they did.
That's right. The real people running the real military dictatorship running Iran. Regardless of what quote geopolitical side people are on, it's on. It's happening. In closing, how do we think Iran is going to respond? Because they always retaliate.
Absolutely. Well, I would think it's going to be, I don't think there's just going to be one response. I think there's going to be a combination of responses. I look for very likely heavy, heavy mining in the Straits of Hormuz, trying to shut the straits down to shut the oil supply down. I think they might even already now be dropping mines into the water. I think that's definitely one of the things they're going to look at. But I also look at further attacks on our installations over there, where we have service members. They're going to want to be able to show their people that they've killed Americans. And then I think there's also a lesser possibility of a strike against Israel, since they're already trying to lay the groundwork that Israel and the U.S. were behind this.
Sure, draw Israel into it to unify other Islamic countries. What about sleeper cells?
Absolutely.
What about sleeper cells?
Yeah, and I think that's one thing we're going to have to look for here in the U.S. is, not just overseas, but now I also think that they will definitely put heavy pressure on these sleeper cells to wake up and start carrying out attacks.
Well, they definitely miscalculated, because Iran officially tried to overthrow that embassy, took over a lot of it. That's an act of war. I don't want war, but you're right. The appeasement of Iran has gone on and on and on. Now Trump has said, don't cross these red lines. He was trying to get us out of the Middle East, and they took that as weakness. I think that was a major miscalculation. We'll be covering it all live here on air throughout tonight and tomorrow. We're up here, skeleton crew tonight, covering all this. But keep talking to your sources. You're a great source for us here at InfoWars. Any other points you'd like to make in closing?
No, except that appeasement ended tonight, officially. And I think this day, this event will be remembered for a long time, because I think the repercussions of it are going to be felt probably for years to come.
And I agree. Don't you think North Korea is taking notice?
Absolutely. And I think you're going to see a change there. I think they're watching this very closely, and depending on how this plays out. But like I said, I would not be surprised if within the next few weeks we don't see major strikes going on inside Iran. And us, unfortunately, being involved in a full-blown war.
Well, that's what I was told by my sources, is the Marines, the Army, everything's on max alert. They're pouring troops in right now. Obviously, that's not on the news, but they're ready for an Iranian response. If the Iranians are dumb enough to try something openly, I think they're going to get destroyed like Japan.
Absolutely. I think they're miscalculating the current president, and he's already served notice to them that he's not doing things the way his predecessor did, and we'll see what Iran does. But again, I think they're backed into a corner now, because I don't think they can back down even if they wanted to. They painted themselves into this corner, and they're going to have to fight this through to the end.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, that's a smart guy that did just talk to some high-level sources, and he's been involved in a lot of different government agencies and things. We'll leave it at that. I don't want war with Iran. President Trump said he wanted peace. But Iran's working with Kerry and Obama and Hillary and the deep state to embarrass America. and to pull us into this crisis. And so that's really what's happening here is the deep state has tried to impeach Trump. They've tried to remove Trump. They've tried the Russiagate crap. They've tried the Ukraine crap. They've tried all this. And now they're working with Iran to try to embarrass Trump in the U.S. And it's not going to go well. So they've all painted themselves into a corner. And I back the president. I pray for peace. But we're going to be covering this all live. Infowars.com, Newswars.com. We've got big stories up at Infowars.com. And we'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow morning to cover this live. Thank you.
This is real world, ladies and gentlemen. We have crossed the Rubicon. And as that report from Alex Jones just showed, the inside source is saying just how real it is, this conflict that is heating up, and we are trading blows, taking out the Soleimani, the Iranian general, who was responsible for the deaths of possibly hundreds of American soldiers and troops there with the Shiite-backed militias in Iraq. And so that is a good thing to be able to take that player out. However, this possibility of a widening war, it threatens not only the safety of our military and our homeland, because you have to look at the fact that, like Tucker Carlson brings up, we haven't had a border during all of this supposed war on terror. We haven't secured our southern border. And so, and not to mention the immigration that we've had laxed under the Bush and Obama administrations after 9/11, we don't know who is here. There's a great article up on Infowars.com from Paul Joseph Watson saying as much about major U.S. cities ramp up security to prepare for potential Iranian-backed attacks. Those are called sleeper cells. This is something that we've been talking about for years here in the alternative media, especially Infowars. These people exist. This is why you need a border. This is why immigration matters. But again, we are always focused on what's going on over there and our involvement in the Middle East. This never-ending perpetual war is having a major effect here at home, and this could disrupt our America First movement. This is putting everything in peril, as I talked about in the opening segment. You know, wars break nations. War is the health of the state. It grows the state. It puts in place things like the Patriot Act. It limits the liberties of us all, but it also has a psychological effect. And we have to look at all of those angles. We're going to do that here on The David Knight Show. I am your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. Always an honor. The number to call in is 888-201-2244. Again, in the second hour, sometime after 9:30, we should have Alex Jones here in studio to discuss this issue, because as 2020 opens up, this is going to define this year, could define the decade and the future of our country. We'll be right back after the break.
To free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back to the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. It is January 3rd, 2020. A new decade has dawned. And of course, the news cycle ever accelerating under this time that we're in. I believe it was Douglas MacArthur who said, whoever mentioned that the pen is mightier than the sword obviously never encountered automatic weapons. And as I look into this 2020, I see the war clouds on the rise, the possibility of the dogs of war chewing their leash and running free. It is sobering, and with so much hope about retaking the country and restoring the republic as we all want, as we want to have that 1776 again, we want to see the country restored. War has such an effect, And we want to talk about that today because this is this escalation here in Iraq. It's just like the president said when he was confronted about staying in Syria. He said, it's nothing but sand and death. I don't know if you all remember that, but that was a poignant statement. As an Iraq war veteran, as a veteran of Afghanistan, I can tell you that it is nothing but sand and death. And you have stories about Iranians and Iraqis celebrating this death of the General Soleimani. But what you have to remember is that's not about freedom, and it's not about justice. It's about religious factions. You have the Sunni, you have the Shia, you have the Kurds in the north, so many different factions in that region. And so this is a bomb always. It's a religious and a sectional crossroads of hatred. And it's very cult-like, and that's what you have to remember, that it's not. There's no rationality in the Middle East. I mean, Ronald Reagan knew that when he pulled the troops out of Lebanon. He said he couldn't believe the irrationality of Middle Eastern politics because there was no rhyme or reason. I can tell you firsthand that there is no rhyme or reason. And as you look at this escalating, it's always reminiscent of that we always seem to go back to trying to remake the Middle East in our image, or that we can somehow secure it. But as I've written before, the Middle East, in a lot of ways, it disguises itself as a scepter to a would-be ruler. You know, to pick it up, then you would be king. But the scepter is a serpent, and it bites you. And that's where we are today. President Trump needs the wisdom of Solomon. I mean, we can't have an embassy attacked and not respond. I mean, I'm in no way a dove. But as a combat veteran, I'll tell you that I'm not a hawk either. So what am I? Well, I wore my falcon tie today, and my wife reminded me about my stance on foreign policy, and I have a third way. I think it's the American constitutional way. If we have interest abroad, if we have American citizens and personnel that are under threat, we do need to respond. And no one needs to get away with attacking American embassies or personnel. But we also need to have wisdom when it comes to our foreign policy and know why we're there in the first place. I mean, the embassy in Iraq is larger than the Vatican. It's the largest embassy in the world. Ron Paul talked about this when he ran for president in 2008 and 12. This massive expenditure, trillions of dollars, it hasn't gotten us anything except sand and death. And so the president has to respond. The appeasement has gone on, as Alex Jones mentioned in the previous video. But what we have to make sure that we don't do is let the dominoes keep falling where we get out of control. And, you know, you see that the escalation in World War One, and the statesmen didn't even know why it was getting out of control. It was one treaty after the next treaty. The next player got involved. It just was something that was, it took on an organic life form. And that's what we have to keep this war contained. It doesn't seem like the Iranians are being rational at all. And, of course, they may be getting all sorts of or being given guarantees by the deep state, as Alex says, and the globalists. I mean, the slow motion coup is included the Mueller witch hunt. It's included now impeachment that's turning into what? I don't know. It's the next step is supposedly the trial in the Senate if it gets there. But what have they done? Well, they've derailed the president's foreign policy. They've delegitimized the president across the board. You know, we talked about North Korea also. North Korea is only responding in kind to what they believe, what kind of power the president has, what kind of support that he has. So Iran sees weakness not necessarily from the president, but from the country itself and from the undermining of the traitors inside the U.S. government who are steering policy and thwarting the president's orders and thwarting the president's policy. So there's a counter-government inside the government, and that is dangerous. And, of course, we talk about that all the time, especially InfoWars, mentioning the deep state. So that's something that's going to be huge here as we peel back the layers and look at this attack in Iraq and, of course, where it's going. The widening possibility of war with Iran, the sleeper cells because we have no border. I mean, Tucker Carlson says they're liars and they don't care about you. We'll play that video here soon, probably in the next hour. But, yeah, they're talking about the neocons and talking about how They want these wars. They want to make sure that we get over there, but they don't care about over here. They don't care about our security here at home. I mean, all the better for them if there's a terrorist attack inside the United States, because guess what? We'll get over there. It's really a racket, as the General Smedley Butler said. War is a racket. But again, I tread the middle way. I have to say that the president was correct in responding to this threat. If American soldiers, American personnel are under threat, then you have to respond in kind. And you cannot appease that. However, I will bracket that with saying the wisdom of being in an area and doubling down and tripling down when it doesn't serve you, it only drags you into wider war, is something that needs to be reconsidered. And I hope the president, and I pray the president, finds more wisdom in that, because one of the reasons he is elected was to end these wars. And he said it himself. He knows it. And we're all here rooting for him. We want to support the president. We want to see a re-election in 2020. But I can tell you, this is also going to cause a shakeup in the political field. This, what looks to be a completely deflated Democratic candidate list that seems to be getting no traction. I'll talk a little bit about that maybe in the next hour, and why I'm still confused as to their status. But this may breathe life into that. I don't know what the candidacy of Tulsi Gabbard is looking like as far as the Democratic primary, but as a 2020 outlook, if this kicks off, if we truly are going into a wider, more kinetic conflict with Iran, then we're going to see anti-war candidates pop up. And then you get to see the Democratic Party, who the greatest frauds in probably all of American history, claiming to be anti-war through all of this when they've been pro-war. But they'll be able to take a side because it'll be Trump's war, and you'll get to see that all elusive and imaginary anti-war left that we never see at any other time. We never see it when Barack Obama's killing people with the flying robots. We never see any of that when they're leading from behind and knocking off Gaddafi because he wanted his own currency. You never get to see any of that from the anti-war left. No pushback. But as soon as Trump, if there is some sort of movement here, if it widens, then you will see anti-war movements again. The anti-war left will reappear and reemerge. This is the David Knight Show. I am Tony Arterburn, sitting in for the great David Knight. We're hoping that he is back, hopefully at the beginning of next week. The number to call in, 888-201-2244. I will go to the phones as soon as we return. Infowarsstore.com, 75% off plus free shipping. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain.
Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. My Brain Force Plus finally kicking in this morning, I think. I did a show last night on 9:30 a.m. The Answer in San Antonio, and then got up this morning around 3:30 and drove up to Austin, and proudly being here in the InfoWars studio. You can feel history happening here. And as we've, crossed into 2020, this last bit of 2019, as I said, gave up the ghost and then gave us this attack on the embassy in Iraq. And, of course, this is widening into a counterstrike by the president, killing Soleimani, this head of the Quds forces. So this is something to watch. Always something I do, being in the gold and silver business, I see how precious metals respond. Because typically the smart money is in precious metals. And that means whoever's anticipating market moves based on real information, based off of actual events and possibilities. Gold is at a close to a 7-year high today off of what it was, even jumping last week into the mid-1400s and now crossing into close to the mid-1500s. Silver is up. Price of crude has jumped to and should be surpassing $70 a barrel. These are all things to watch because this event has spooked and looked, you know, at some people at having to change some outlooks for 2020. What? Because war always disrupts through the plans, doesn't it? You know, we a man plans and God laughs, and that's really where we are in 2020 as we've crossed into this new decade, this new era. And those of us who want to see a rebirth of the Republic know that we have to be very, very skeptical of foreign wars. And one of the reasons that InfoWars has taken so much heat is because it has looked beyond the media hype and the propaganda, the narrative of the deep state overlords and the mockingbird media, and said, you know, this narrative about war forever and it being good and we're going to get over there and you know, bring democracy and all that, this is a lie, and it only feeds the health of the state, it only enriches the few, and war is a racket and all the rest. InfoWars has been out front of that, you know, talking about the lie about the babies being thrown out of incubators in Kuwait, and so on and so forth. I mean, the false flags. And that's one of the reasons that InfoWars is taking such a hit from all these sources, and especially the mainstream media, who likes to cheerlead these things until they're against them. And they play both ends against the middle. InfoWars has been very consistent at staying very much pro-Constitution and pro-human, because war is just awful. But we have to look at this soberly. And so on the David Knight Show, that's what we do. I mean, David always takes us through a very detailed summary of not only the events, but tying that to history. And I always learn. And so it's such a wonderful thing to be up here today with you and trying to give my best interpretation as a combat veteran of what this means. And like I always say, you know, news is northeast, west, and south. It's the lay of the land. And right now, as we look down the path to 2020, I would tell you to be very cautious, and we're going to need to tread lightly. And yeah, it's okay to take a minute and say, you know, that's great for President Trump taking out this Iranian leader. Seems like a bad guy. But let's also remember that if we get too bogged down in this mess, if we get into a wider war, if this opens up into a conflict where we can't get out, like an Iraq War III, this is going to be very problematic for a 2020 reelection. And all of our energy will have been wasted. And that's why this is such a perilous time. I'm going to go to the phone lines. We've got Jefferson in Virginia on the line. We take that, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jefferson.
War is the new peace, it appears.
Yes, war is the new peace. Yes, very Orwellian. Well, I know you have strong opinions. We've talked before.
What do you think the chances are during the state funeral for Soleimani there'd be a decapitation strike?
That's very everything is on the table now, Jefferson. I won't think that we're any sort of conventional wisdom anymore is out the window. We live in interesting times, and so I would just say that chaos is the order of the day.
Well, that would be an enormous escalation, but it would certainly send a warning shot across the bow of mullahs.
Yes, I believe that, you know, look, Trump's probably, you know, getting so many different sets of advice right now. A lot of it's probably bad because so much of the deep state and the security state is the neocon set, and they would like to see a wider forever war on behalf of so many different factions. So I just want to see the president make the right decision, secure what he needs to secure, but try to keep this from escalating.
Well, the State of the Union address in 3 weeks is going to be quite interesting, especially with Nancy dragging her heels, acting like she doesn't want to go to war.
Oh, you know she would love it.
it's going to be a strange month we're going to have here. I mean, the Civil War might kick off here in Virginia, and with this international tension, it's going to be a minefield for politicians to be on the right side of history.
I agree. I mean, I think the whole thing about talking about wisdom right now is really what we need to be praying for the president to have that wisdom to make sure that nothing is done hastily. And, you know, the Democratic Party would love to see Trump in a wider war. It gives them a new campaign slogan and gives them a new cause. It can activate the all elusive anti-war left that we always hear so much about. And look, we have to be cautious and we have to tell the truth and we have to make sure that the people get the best information when it comes to this sort of foreign policy adventure.
But it could also cause him to declare emergencies that they can't anticipate what he's going to use with the emergency powers that he would have. So that could work against them.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, as commander-in-chief, he has a great deal of power. But you, like I said, you have to wield that with wisdom, and that's what we're going to pray for the president to have during these times. And we're definitely, we've crossed the Rubicon, Jefferson, and stay tuned to InfoWars, and I appreciate you calling in.
Amen to that. Thank you.
And take care. Let's go to Alex before we end the hour, guys. Alex in Michigan.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Alex.
This is a false flag. This is a false flag by the globalists run by the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta using Israel.
So you think that like I do that Iran has just become some sort of proxy player for the globalists, for the deep state, kind of like a pawn on the global chessboard like North Korea was and most likely still is, especially in that for the Chinese. But if you look at Iran's behavior, I mean, cu bono, who benefits from Iran being belligerent and showing up in of course, having the attack on the embassy and dragging the president into a wider war? That is an interesting viewpoint, one which I quasi share, because I don't think that without the support of the deep state and with so many elements that are treasonous to the United States, that we would see Iran being so bold.
What I think is that this whole Middle Eastern war, where America is being used as the proxy for Rome by the Pope and the papacy and the Catholic Church, not all Catholics are bad, but the Roman Catholic hierarchy. E. Howard Hunt of the CIA said himself that the Jesuits are the greatest intelligence network on earth.
I've heard that too, and you know, there's so many different factions, and as you try to peel away the layers, and the news comes so fast at us now, it's good to take a step back and have a little history, and that's what I tried to do in the last hour, is talk about, you know, what causes wars and what happens to countries and civilizations that are constantly engaged in wars. You think about James Madison saying that a republic cannot survive in a state of perpetual warfare. And that's what we're, you know, needing to remember as we go further into 2020 with this being a possibility of a wider war with Iran, and knowing that we have crossed the Rubicon, that there is an ongoing conflict, and it has become a hot war. How large it gets is going to be up to the president. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. Stick around in the second hour. We will have Alex Jones in studio to discuss this in detail.
Using free speech to free minds. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. Looking forward to his return. I know all of the audience is. But I will be here for the next 2 hours. We'll be joined in studio by Alex Jones here very shortly. But, you know, there's more than the Iran attack in the news. There's more than the counterstrike that the president had and took out Soleimani. There's more than that event in the news today. I mean, you have the the joke of a race when it comes to the Democratic Party. I'm still waiting for someone to emerge. I still think that there is room for a brokered convention. I still think that it's a real possibility that the actual challenger to President Trump has yet to emerge and yet to be seen. But as they, vie for power, you see one day Bernie's rising to the top. The next day it's Mayor Pete and then Elizabeth Warren's gaining momentum, all this stuff. Who knows? But definitely the most important item is the possible ramping up of tensions, ramping up of a shooting war with Iran, and what that means not only for the future of the United States, but our America First movement. And, of course, the lives and safety of our brave men and women in uniform. I noticed the story about the paratroopers from Fort Bragg, of which I'm a former U.S. Army paratrooper. And, of course, when something happens, you send in the 82nd Airborne, and that's 750 troops or so sent from Fort Bragg. And, they're in our thoughts and our prayers, and we want them to return safely. But that's something that we're going to have to remember looking at the lay of the land, looking at the news. I mean, what does this mean? And we're covering in depth here what that could mean possibly. And there's another story, Paul Joseph Watson, Infowars.com. Iran has Hezbollah sleeper cells in the U.S. ready to strike. This has been common knowledge for a while that because of mass immigration and because of a lack of a border, we have a possibility of sleeper cells, and more than a possibility, but probably an absolute certainty of sleeper cells in the United States ready to strike if there is an attack on Iran. And because we've never had a full-on attack of Iran, and of course, Iran is very different than Iraq. It covers a much, much larger territory. And it has not, other than having been engaged in with the Iran-Iraq War in the 1980s, has been pretty much just an entity that did war by proxy, as you see in Yemen, and as you've seen, in Iraq during the Iraq War with the United States occupation, and continuing to this day. So it's very different territory, very different culture. And you see on the map there how large that is. And that is the be a huge challenge for any sort of U.S. occupation or invasion. It would definitely it would consume the rest of the resources of our military if we were to take on a full-scale war with Iran. It would be next to cataclysmic, and we would all suffer because of that. So this is why the president needs to think this over, get the best possible advice, and have the wisdom of Solomon as we proceed into 2020. You know, one of the reasons that I'm not sick today, and I will say this because I believe in it, is I use the InfoWars products, and I use the Silver Bullet. And I was camping recently and went out to the Ozark Mountains, where I have some property in Arkansas, and it was cold and it was rainy for a couple of days. And I tell you what, I doubled, tripled up, quadrupled up on my Silver Bullet. And today I've still got a little bit of a scratchy throat, but I'm able to get here, have a little bit of Brain Force Plus, sip on some the Patriot Blend coffee, and talk to you because of the amazing products at InfoWars. InfoWarsStore.com, 75% off plus free shipping. Go there today, find some of the amazing products, and we'll talk a little bit more about those products when we return. This is The David Knight Show.
Truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. This is The David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. It is January 3rd, 2020. We're breaking down the counterstrike in Iraq against the leader of the Quds forces, General Soleimani, by President Trump. And of course, in response to so many different acts of violence and treachery and terrorism on behalf of the Iranians in Iraq through the Shia-led militias. And of course, they had it coming. But again, we are breaking it down why and what this means, and of course, what are the outcomes and what to prepare for and what to look for. Tucker Carlson had my similar reaction when he had his show last night. And the first thing I thought of when I see the usual suspects talk about how we need to get over there and then we need to widen this war with Iran, and there needs to be something to needs to be done, and so on and so forth, and then Americans are under threat. That is true. Americans are under threat there, especially in the Green Zone, the largest embassy in the world, larger than the Vatican there in Baghdad. But we're a threat here at home. And, you know, Tucker Carlson says they're liars and they don't care about you. He's referring to the neocons. He's referring to the media. We have a wide open border. And when you couple that with the fact that there is a possibility of having, you know, forces come across our border, whether they were from Hezbollah or ISIS or anybody else. We're mainly talking about Shia forces now that we're dealing directly with Iran. But they haven't done anything about our border. We have, I mean, I pulled the statistics before I came into the show this morning, just the massive amount of crime caused by non-citizens in the United States. And I want to say it's like 55% or so of inmates in federal prisons are made up of non-citizens. We've been under assault here, and the main threat has always been, in my lifetime, has been here. It hasn't been from abroad. So we need to continue to talk about bringing the troops home and securing our border and having the, like I always say, a border, not a new world order. I do think that we can have a foreign policy where we protect Americans abroad, but the main interest is always the American people, and the safety is always the American people. Guys, can we run that clip from Tucker from last night?
We have an unexpected Fox News alert for you, something that has just happened in Iraq. The situation there heating up very quickly without any debate here in Washington. Iraqi television has just confirmed that Qasem Soleimani, a former general in Iran's Revolutionary Guard and a commander of the Quds Force, has been killed in a rocket attack, apparently initiated by the United States, near the Baghdad airport, along with a top official in the Iraqi Shiite militia. Now, what were they doing in Iraq? Unclear. But his death comes several days after tensions kind of came out into the open in that country. Last week, if you've been following this, you know, an American civilian contractor was killed by militants in Iraq. The U.S. government blamed that attack on Iran, and it retaliated with strikes. In response, protesters blockaded the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. It's basically where we were when the show started tonight. Defense Secretary Mark Esper warned that the United States is prepared to launch additional preemptive military strikes against Iranian interests in the region, which apparently are what we are seeing right now. Now, again, there's been virtually no debate or even discussion about this, but America appears to be lumbering toward a new Middle East war. And we have to say it's one that official Washington has wanted for decades. For example, disgraced National Security Advisor John Bolton has made it his life's mission to start a war with Iran. And tonight, Bolton may be finally getting his wish. Should you be happy about that? That's the question. Well, the last time we took John Bolton's advice in the region, Iran became far more powerful than it was before we took John Bolton's advice. Why? Because things are never quite as simple as they claim they are in Washington. In this case, the very people demanding action against Iran tonight, the ones telling you the Persian menace is the greatest threat we face, are the very same ones demanding that you ignore the invasion of America now in progress from the South. The millions, the tens of millions of foreign nationals living among us illegally, the torrent, more significantly, of Mexican narcotics that has killed and disabled entire generations of Americans. Nobody cares, in case you haven't noticed. Pay no attention to all of that, these very same people tell us. The real threat is Iran. Well, they're liars, and they don't care about you, they don't care about your kids. They're reckless and incompetent. And you should keep all of that in mind as war with Iran looms closer tonight.
Tucker Carlson always calling it like he sees it and usually right on target. That, to me, is how I feel. And I didn't see that clip till I woke up this morning. But he's so right about the elite and how they've been wrong about the war in Iraq. The elites, they never really get called to the carpet. You know, when I was a young soldier at Fort Bragg, I'd gotten back from Afghanistan. We were the first Army company on the ground in Afghanistan, the 108th MP Company, airborne, and there in Kandahar. And so I got back to Fort Bragg, and I thought, surely we won't invade Iraq. I mean, we can't do this. I didn't really understand how all of the corruption worked. I was only 22, 23 years old. And I thought, well, he's complying with the UN, the inspections were happening. He was giving up some of his rockets and so on. And I just had this gut feeling this was this terrible, terrible mistake. And, of course, my unit eventually was part of the tail end of the invasion of Iraq. And it's nothing but sand and death. And you get through all the trillions of dollars, all of the heartbreak, all the tragedy, all of the hundreds of thousands of displaced Iraqis, and then you have the complete demolition of Christianity in Iraq. I stood in some of the oldest churches in Christendom in northern Iraq outside of Mosul. They're gone. They're wiped out because of the neocon influence in our Defense Department, in our State Department, in our Pentagon, and then in the executive branch in the Bush administration. They never got to be held accountable. They never were held accountable. And so it's always an external threat. Now it's Iran. And Tucker's right. When you look at the challenges that the United States faces, when you look at the crime caused by the narco-terrorists right here at home, so it's not about terrorism. You have to peel back the layers and find out cui bono, who benefits. Well, there's so many different actors right now that benefit with a possible hot war with Iran, with some sort of long-term deployment, with a constant round of escalation, with a strike-for-strike type mentality. Who benefits? And that is the deep state. The deep state, the counter government inside the government, it benefits. The House of Saud benefits. The people that, of course, even some way, Iran benefits with the price of oil. I mean, if they're able to keep their country because the price of crude will skyrocket. All of us will suffer, the American people. We'll suffer here at home with high prices at the pump. We'll suffer with a loss of liberties. We'll suffer because it's usually the people who pay the taxes who also fight the wars, who aren't in power. And that's where these elites always send us on the next adventure. They never send themselves, but they send us happily to do their bidding. And that's what that's why I oppose these foreign engagements, because if you look at the wars that I fought in, we're not more free and more prosperous because I fought in them. My son doesn't grow up in a more free country, look at the freedom of speech completely under assault. Look at what InfoWars has been going through because of the expansion of the military-industrial complex and the media, the surveillance state, fused with the government, going after small media, going after people who oppose these types of adventures. So I will remain steadfast in my skepticism of foreign wars, even though I will bring you the best possible information that I can. InfoWarsStore.com, 75% off plus free shipping. I love the BrainForce Plus, 60% off. The Knockout, 60% off. Ultra 12, which is another one of my favorite products, 60% off. The Krill Oil, awesome product. The Vaso Beats, these are all products that I'm on, by the way, and have on auto ship. This is the David Knight Show, but go to InfoWarsStore.com. Support InfoWars, support free speech. That's one way you can stand up to the deep state scumbags and the people that want to push us into a wider war and that want to see your liberty stripped away. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. Looking forward to his return very soon. I miss my favorite show, and it's not when I host it. I'd opened up the phone lines earlier, and I'm going to continue to have them open. We're going to be joined very soon in studio by Alex Jones. I look forward to that. The number is 888-201-2244. In the third hour, We will be talking to Richard Proctor, which I always enjoy. And I want to make sure that we get to some of your calls, though, because it is important that I find out, and we have this dialogue, this discourse, as we look into this issue with the strike on the Iranian general in Iraq and what that means in a possible wider war. We've got Frank in Michigan on the line. He says Trump's falling into a trap.
Hey, Tony. Good morning, man, and thank you for your service. Long-time listener, and to my fellow listeners, if you haven't tried any of the products, you got to try them. They're great.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Frank.
You know, on the whole Iran thing, you know, status quo, you know, I'm a big fan of Ron Paul. Here we are again, you know, fighting on behalf of the House of Saud. Shia Sunni conflict. You know, I think the guys we're fighting now, I think they were fighting ISIS. I mean, it's just a big mess. Kind of like everything. If you look at the whole picture of everything, we're under siege. Yeah, we got Trump in, but, you know, border crossings all-time high. The debt, all-time high. They just passed a spending bill that'll put mine and yours grandchildren in debt. You know, we've been invaded totally, like Tucker said, last night. And Alex just broke down, you know, they're hiring UN people to do gun confiscation. I think that, as usual, as Alex has laid out, you know, for many years, we're being distracted by nonsense, the impeachment, all this. This is all nonsense. I think they don't care who the president is, while they softly and slowly, you know, invade us. And look, now we're like the Roman Empire. We're spread out all over the place. I mean, if the Chi-Coms or the UN or somebody wanted to do a soft takeover, wouldn't be very hard because most of our guys are all over the place.
Well, you're right, Frank. There's many, many players that benefit with the U.S. being involved in a war with Iran. But guess what? The one entity that doesn't benefit is the American people. Not one iota, 0%. But you see the Chi-Coms benefiting. You see the House of Saud benefiting. Of course, the Israelis benefit. The Israeli lobby benefits for having more chaos in the Middle East, disrupting nation states. Israel's not threatened by really terrorism. They're threatened by nation states in their history. Look at their past. So they support, open-ended wars. And we're just left holding the bag and paying the bills and sending the troops. We have, you know, 700 bases in 132 countries. That's a rough number. But, you know, I fought in these wars, and I can only tell you that we're not more safe. We're not more free because I did that, because I participated. I'm just proud that I got to serve with the amazing men and women of the U.S. Army and, of course, the airborne, the paratroopers. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my service with them, but I'm not proud of the missions that continue. They, you know, when we are attacked, like our embassy, I agree with the president, you have to respond. But a certain standpoint, a certain place, you have to say, why are we here?
Yeah, right, I mean, take the troops and secure the border. And listen, man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the troops. I didn't serve, but you guys made the ultimate sacrifice. You see the four-year-old eating dirt after everything's been blown up. You guys know what it is. We don't know what it is here, and it's a serious thing, and to do all this on behalf of the elites, and it's not benefiting us at all. It's hurting us. We're being eroded like the Roman Empire. It's just so plain to see to me that, you know, it makes me nervous. You know, I love Trump and all that, but I think we're losing focus on the big unseen hand that we know is there.
I think you just hit the nail on the head, Frank. And when you talk about falling into a trap, this is what breaks nations. It breaks movements. Wars, it upends everything. It is the health of the state. When you think about, Iran cannot destroy or humiliate the United States. Only Americans can do that. So, I mean, if you look at their weaponry, you look at how they can project power. They can project power through terrorism. They could do that. But they really can't destroy the United States. So this sort of fever to get into a war, when you see the mainstream media pushing something, when you see the usual players, the usual suspects like the neocons and the national security state, when they're pushing these adventures overseas with people like Iran, with this possible widening of the war, you have to ask yourself, I mean, at what point are they going to take away more of our liberties? At what point are they going to continue to dismantle the America First movement, this last gasp of Americana, this all-important challenge that we're up against? And that's why, you know, we're going to cover this. And, of course, we're going to have Alex in the studio a little bit later. And I'm sure he's got a complete, you know, a different take than I do even. But we all care deeply, regardless of our viewpoints on this particular possible conflict. We all care deeply about the health of this country and the direction of the country and our prosperity and you know, our families.
Yeah, that's great, man. I mean, you guys do an awesome job. I appreciate it. I just, you know, being a longtime listener, you know, you learn a lot from listening to this show. And like David Knight said, you know, let's stop all these foreign wars. Let's get the heck out of there. We got our country is so great. And the men and women of this country are so great. And we're being divided, Hegelian dialect. And it's just sometimes, man, you just get tired of it over and over and over again. And you thought things were going to change with Trump. And I know it's a long haul, but it's just, you know, as a guy who kind of, like I said, I follow the Ron Paul kind of way of thinking. And, you know, I just don't. It's scary, man, especially when you think the future, these college kids, they're all indoctrinated. And it's almost like we lost, even though you got to keep the spirit, right? Liberty's got to rise.
You have to keep the spirit, Frank. Yes, you're exactly right. I mean, this is a twilight struggle. It's a generational struggle. You can't give up. Just this is a bump on the road. And, of course, the president ran on peace. The president ran on pulling out of foreign war. Even if he doesn't succeed, Frank, our movement has to succeed because eventually we'll get there. We just started. We've only begun. Frank, thanks so much for your call.
Happy New Year. Have a great day, man. Thank you.
You too, my friend. He's exactly right. I have a radio show in San Antonio, and I've had callers. We talked about, you know, there's been previous run-ins with Iran over the last year. I've had callers say, well, what do you think about this? And, you know, so much of talk radio and conservatism is it's a call-in show about what we're going to strike next. What foreign policy move do we make next? Now, I'll never forget I had a call once, and this went on for about 5 minutes. This whole laid out all the case for hitting Iran and going to what we could do and what we, you know, what ships we would send in and what ports we would take. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, now that you've mentioned it, I'd like to build a border wall because I don't care. I mean, honestly, I mean, we could look at this all day long. It becomes the grand chessboard. And, they, you know, you make all these complicated theorems and what we could hold and do this or that and the other. But what it comes down to is I put America first. And to me right now, the existential threat that we face is on our southern border. If we don't get a hold of that, we don't have a future. We can always keep Iran at bay. But I do agree with the president when you have people like this General Soleimani, when he's hurting Americans, when he's committing terrorism, he has to pay. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arbin, filling in for David. We'll be right back.
The power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I am your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. I'd opened up the phone lines earlier. We're really just devoting this entire 3 hours until we get to Mr. Richard Proctor to the possible lead-up, looks like the inevitability of an exchange, some sort of military conflict with Iran because of the escalation in Iraq through the Quds forces and the Shiite-backed militias. The president has taken out General Soleimani, which is could be leading to a even wider conflict. But I wanted to take a minute and thank InfoWars Store for such great products. I'm on, you know, the BrainForce Plus, the VasoBeats. I love the X2. X2 changed my life. But when you go to into seasons like this, when it's you got this really bad flu season, and of course there's colds and germs and everything else. I recently, as I mentioned in the previous hour, I was on a camping trip in the Ozarks. It got rainy, it got cold, it was below freezing, and then you're getting dealing with the smoke and the campfire. And I started to get, I feel like I got a cold coming on. I rarely get sick. You know, Alex talked about that on the commercial. He was talking about how, you know, he's thank goodness, but he almost never gets sick. I'm the same way, mainly because of supplements and you know, staying healthy. But this product, the Super Silver, the Silver Bullet, this is colloidal silver, nano silvers. And I take this, I've been taking this, a shot of this about 2 to 3 times a day. Now, this is just personally for me, just keeping the colds back, that feeling that you're getting sick. I've been hitting that since the last part of December. And it's one of the reasons I'm here with you today, because I'm not sick. I am functioning. I'm on my BrainForce Plus. I'm having my Patriot Blend, the Chiapas Organic Coffee, sipping that today and taking your calls. But, you know, this, the way that you support free speech, the way that you support the Americana movement is to go to InfoWarsStore.com, just like I do. And they have the 2019 is going into 2020, the mega clearance blowout sale, up to 75% off and free shipping. Lots of great products there. Before Alex joins us in studio, I had opened up the phone lines and I want to try to get to as many calls as possible. Thanks so much to all the callers who are hanging on the line. I tell you what, the InfoWars callers, you guys are the best. You're the best callers in all of talk radio, all of television. You're already up to date. You're already educated. I mean, when I'm doing conventional talk radio, I have to explain. I have to spend most of my time teaching. But InfoWars callers, they tell me something. They teach me. So it's always great to go to the phone lines. Guys, let's go to Chris in Minneapolis. He has a theory about the Iran backed by globalists, kind of like I think.
Hi, Tony. Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Tony.
Loud and clear.
All right. Well, here's an interesting take. I'm happy that Iraq is in the news. Means things are happening down there. I've had selfish reasons to be keeping my eye on Iraq now for over 10 years. And, excuse me, my take from everything I've known over the last 10 years and listening to other research is Iran, as we're finding out, is backed by globalists, meaning Hillary, Kerry, and Obama, and Bush. And here's the interesting thing. The poor people of Iraq, their money has been worthless since we invaded, or we went down there in, what, 2004? Their currency went to dirt below. One of their dinars is worth less than a penny. As far as I know, they've been taken off all United Nations restrictions that were placed on them at that time. But for some reason, their currency hasn't gained any value in 20 years. It's still where it was then. Something's holding it back. And from what I've heard, it's these corrupt bums from Iran and that have infiltrated or are holding the Iraqi government hostage from revaluing that currency. Have you ever heard anything about that or thought about that?
I've read bits and pieces about that. You know, when you talk about currency manipulation worldwide, and of course you don't get the deep state and the Obama administration was not shipping pallets of cash to the Sudanese government or anybody else. So, you know, they certainly weren't helping any of the world's poor, but they were giving pallets and pallets of cash to the Iranian government. And to talk about the by proxy, the Iranians playing a role in the globalization of the planet, you're absolutely right. Look at, of course, we always have to go back to first cause. If you look at the Iraq war, Iran's dominance in Iraq wouldn't have happened had we not knocked off Saddam Hussein and really been so unwise to do that. I mean, to take out this, you know, we'd worked with Saddam, we gave him weapons, we'd backed him during the Iran-Iraq war, and then we took him out. That created a power vacuum, as you know, Chris, and this is why we're dealing with this today. You're talking about this General Soleimani. There's a reason why the Quds forces are linked with the Shia militias in Iraq. It's a mess, and it's a racket, as Smedley Butler would say. And so there's a lot of people benefiting, but not you or I. So Iran is a player for the globalists. They're a pawn in some way. And they can't, like I've said in previous segments, they can't destroy the United States. We have big problems that can destroy the United States. And
Tony,
we're not really doing our best to address them.
Can I have a say one more thing?
Sure.
It would be glorious if, I mean, here's the interesting thing. And here's one of the reasons it was so exciting when Trump won that presidency that night, is that we would see changes. We'd see this hand, evil hand, lifted off the Middle East. And somehow Trump would be involved in these changes where Iraq is forced to not just rely on oil to fund their government, but they'd have to do something with their currency. And the miracles that could happen if somehow they were able to add value to their currency, because I personally know so many Americans that put a few bucks into their currency years ago, which is worth less than a penny today. I mean, if it even became worth 20 cents, you'd have a whole new crop of millionaires, many of them Christian, many of them good people, in America. And not to mention, we got a lot of dinars in our treasury. I mean, it'd be an absolute miracle if this happened.
I think that's what we always want to strive for, is, you know, the peace, commerce, and honest friendship. It's, you know, the doctrines that Ron Paul and, you know, the constitutional way, what the founders prescribed for us to be a free republic. And that I would think that would work just about anywhere. And I agree with you. And that would be interesting to watch. But I really appreciate your call, Chris. Thanks for tuning in. Folks, this is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. We should have Alex in studio very shortly. We still got the phone lines open. I want to thank everyone for holding on the line. We probably will, if you hold, and if Alex, depending on how many segments we do, we might be able to get your calls before I go to Richard Proctor. But I want to thank everybody for calling in, and we'll let you know if we can't go to the phone lines. This is a momentous day. History is happening here in the InfoWars studio. You can feel the energy as we go towards this conclusion of this great 2020, this election. I think we're, if my math is correct, we're about 304 days out of those momentous election where we're going to decide the fate of our country. And this action in Iraq, this possible hot war, will be a big determining factor and whether or not we have victory in November. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. As promised, in studio, Alex Jones.
It's good to be here. Thanks for doing a great job. Love watching the show when you're hosting.
Proud to be here.
I just wanted to pop in for this segment because I know you got loaded phone lines, and I'm going to be taking a lot of calls, obviously, coming up on my show at 11 in about an hour and 13 minutes. But I want people to just pull back. I don't have an agenda here on air to say I'm for this strike or I'm against this strike. When Trump took the bait partially with the fake chemical attacks, the third round of them that we knew were fake, and blew up that chemical dump, I got really angry because he was violating a promise he'd made. But I understand it was strategic. The Russians knew it was coming. That was to get the war hawks off his back, the neocons that wanted war. So that was Trump being very, very strategic. That was 3D chess. A lot of times he's not playing 3D chess. He's so surrounded by traitors. But in my view, that was 3D chess. I still don't agree with it. This is a very dangerous Machiavellian road to go down to do a little war to stop a big war. But I understand it. In this case, yes, we know the neocons are bad. Yes, we know that Israel has problems. Yes, we know Saudi Arabia's got serious problems. But if you look at Iran, they have been, since Operation Praying Mantis, what, 1980, when we blew up their navy because they were attacking people, they're very expansionist. They say they're going to rule the world. They're going to control Islam. They're in a war with Islam right now to take it over. Even though the Shiites are 20% of Islam, they're the most motivated and organized group. They don't have the money of the Saudis. that control the other side of Islam, but they are the most organized, because, as you know, they're Persians and you know, don't have that Arab inclination to not work together. And so there is a problem. Obviously, the old joke is the Iranians invented chess. And so they're very, very expansionist. That's where you get the whole term Aryan. Aryan's where you get the word Iran, people that settled, the white people that settled India and modernized it about 5,000 years ago were Aryans. They were whites that went into Iran. And the whole point is, that's just some of the background. They believe, just like Hitler said he was an Aryan, they believe they have a right to rule the world. So Hitler didn't invent all of that. It comes out of Iran and northern India. So they have an ethos that they are meant to rule the world. You combine that with Islam, you got a very expansionist situation. Now, for me, this is really what's going on at the bottom of it. They're launching all these proxy wars. The United States can't make Saudi Arabia stop launching its ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra proxy operations if Iran keeps doing it. Deep state, leftist, globalist, Hillary, Obama, John Kerry and others have been engaged in shadow diplomacy, running around behind Trump, trying to unravel things, and they've bragged. And so is Michael Moore when he was president-elect. Oh, we'll embarrass him North Korea and in Iran, and he'll get removed from an international crisis. Just like they tried Bay of Pigs on Kennedy, this is something very, very similar they're trying to do. Trump's isolated himself, doesn't let Congress know what he's doing now. Normally they do. President doesn't have to in an emergency. And that's wise, because they will sabotage operations like taking out al-Baghdadi. They were going to try to sabotage that previously. And so by killing these guys, he's saying no more proxy wars. If you do this, we're going to decapitate your regime, and it's a message to Kim Jong-un in North Korea. So that's the reason that's happening, is letting the deep state know he's the commander-in-chief. They're not going to have dual operations with the Iranian leadership that has been given the green light to embarrass Trump in the Strait of Hormuz, embarrass America, and push us into a larger conflict on their terms. So Trump's saying, no, we'll do it on our terms, and we'll start decapitating the leadership in Tehran, because the general that was killed basically was the co-president with the mullah, the Ayatollah that runs that place. They run the bureaucracy. They run the whole government. They run the thousands of money laundering operations around the world. And that's the top link story. Up on DrudgeReport.com is our report about sleeper cells. The fact that they do have not fake Al-Qaeda, ISIS type wind-up toys that Israel and others are, you know, have been caught running. That's just a fact. I'm not against Israel. It's just Israel runs a lot of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. It's even in the Jerusalem Post that they helped fund Hamas as a counter to Hezbollah, which again is Iran. So you've got this playing the Shiite, Sunni, Islamic civil war off against each other. And so the question is the deep state crazy enough working with Iran to green light them carrying out terror attacks in America to then say, oh, look, Trump did this, so it's his fault? I don't think that would play well. And so really, this move by Trump and by the Pentagon is a very, very strong move. We're basically at war with Iran right now. It's easy to sit back and Monday morning quarterback this whole thing, but if you want to have a strong country and you want to send a message to North Korea and the Chi-Coms and the Russians and everybody else, this is it, where you kill leadership. No more games of proxy wars and cannon fodder and troops dying and militias. You just do what we should have done, invaded Hanoi in 1964 if we were really going to kick out Ho Chi Minh. But that was all meant to create a schism and a whole leftist divide and generate the anti-war movement in America. That's been declassified and was meant to chew up our best men. That was all a stage deal at the deep state level as well. So I'm against deep state wars. I'm against endless wars. I want out of Afghanistan. I want out of Iraq. I want out of Syria. And Trump understands we've got to have decisive victories to end these and decapitate people that won't stop playing both sides, because they just can't help it. I mean, if anybody's squirrely and anybody is inbred and anybody has high IQs but are crazy, folks, if you think some of the Ashkenazi folks over in Israel are nuts, the Iranians are even more crazy, okay? And so all they know is force. And so the big question is, how are they going to respond? How are they manipulating deep state and other groups? So you have the crazy, some of the crazy folks in Iran, crazy folks in Saudi Arabia, inbred as well, crazy British elites. It's just a bunch of crazy inbred crazies. And you've got normal people that live in Israel and live in Iran and live in the U.S. and live in Europe. And we all just want peace. People in China, on average, are just good people. But we have crazy elites that are always playing with the grand chessboard that is the planet. And that's my view on this, is looking at it from what it is, not, oh, my God, Trump's betrayed us. He's a warmonger. I love Tucker Carlson. And when Tucker's saying, hey, this will make the neocons happy, But this isn't the way the neocons wanted it. They just want an outright giant war. If you're going to have wars, really, you go into capitals, you kill the leadership. That's why we used to send the Marines in around the world. That's what you actually do. You storm the castle, you kill the leadership. You don't have big giant wars. Big giant wars are things that were carried out by British and French elites, Norman elites, that were all inbred and were actually having wars with each other to kill off their own populations. Those type of wars are jokes. If you're going to have a real war with Islam and the rest of it, you take out the leadership and you basically have to have a new crusade by locking up the borders and then engaging in economic warfare and then physical warfare. And so really we're entering that wheelhouse where Trump is saying we're not going to have the capitulation to Islam, to the Chi-Coms, to Hollywood, to the globalists, or anybody. This is really a president and a real U.S. government. You may disagree with the policies, but from my view, this is the president being the president, and it sent shockwaves across the world and is a huge historic movement and is extremely dangerous.
I agree, and it's like bold moves fused with proportionality. And that's what we want to continue to see, is because we don't want a wider war. It's one of the reasons, like, we're so expecting it, too. It's like when you were upset about the Syrian airstrike, we always thought, because we've been so conditioned, that it's going to be followed by an invasion, followed by a wider war. Trump hasn't followed through on that. He hasn't seen this wider war escalate. So as we see, you know, he had to do something. You know, Americans were under threat. And, of course, the...
So he killed the guys that are going around killing people.
Correct. He took it out. But he doesn't have to follow up with an invasion. He doesn't have to follow up with a wider war or an occupation or anything like that.
Well, it's like El Cid, which is a movie, but based on a true story. In the old days, those kingdoms would just have their champions fight. That's where gladiators actually started. It wasn't just out of entertainment. It was like two champions would fight instead of killing all your people. And so really, okay, you kill our people, we're going to kill you. And that's going to send a message that we're not going to just target your military, we're going to kill you. And I think the mullahs are thinking twice. What do you think they're going to do?
I think that this could send a message to where they will start retreating on that front. You see the headline here about the Khomeini taunting Trump before this attack, before he took out Soleimani, the strike. You know, you can't do anything. Well, he just did. And this could be hopefully a road to some more, de-escalation. Hopefully that could be, because it's a bold move, because it's proportional.
But can they, well, you think the Iranians can control themselves and not trigger sleeper cells?
That is the big question.
Could an element of the deep state trigger a false flag and blame it on the Iranians?
That's the key. Yeah. That's what could open up this entire thing, because we wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And you're right. I mean, this is where we're in such uncharted territory.
Especially when you read his tweets. Now he's saying we're going to have savage revenge. We're going to destroy you. Well, then what if Israel or Saudi Arabia stages a false flag, which we know they both do it.
Right. And this is something, it's got to be bold moves with proportionality. And I mean, that has to be Trump keeping, I think, you know, if you want to see what the deep state wants, they would want some sort of occupation. They want him mired down. They want him in a wider war, a quagmire, because this would cost him the presidency.
That's right. And also stop the pivot to the Pacific, where China's taking over the South China Sea.
Cui bono? Who benefits from this if it's a wider war?
Well, we love you coming in and doing the show. I've been watching this morning while I was working out, and we really appreciate it. I know you got loaded phone lines. I'm going to be on in 1 hour. We need everybody to spread the word so people don't just get into compartments of pro-war, anti-war, so people really get what Trump's doing here. And I agree, proportionality. I hate to say I endorse a strike like this, because normally it's for neocons and globalists, and it's just a pissing contest, but these guys have been bad actors in Iran. I know they helped, quote, take out ISIS and Al-Qaeda, but now they're trying to overthrow the Iraqi government. We're going to just get sucked back in. So it's a very, very bold move, as you said. So I look forward to listening to the callers, because their knowledge is also thought-provoking.
Tune in to the Alex Jones Show, 11 o'clock Central Time. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. We'll be right back.
All right, nigga.
Mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. And you heard it here first. That was Alex Jones in the previous segment responding to the strike that President Trump had carried out on the General Soleimani, and what that could mean. And we just went over a little bit of that. And of course, tune into the Alex Jones Show at 11 a.m. Central Time. I did have the phones continuing because the InfoWars callers are the best in the world, and I love hearing what you guys have to say. So let's go to the phone lines, guys. Let's go to Jerry in Minnesota.
Hey, Tony.
Jerry, thanks for holding.
Yeah, thank you for your service, Tony. You're a great patriot. It was Terry in Minnesota, not Jerry. Sorry.
No problem. Sorry. We still got you there? You still? Okay, you dropped. Okay. Well, let's go to Alex in Austin.
Hey,
Alex, welcome to the David Knight Show.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, Alex is spot on with the Iran escalation that was coming, whether we like it or not.
Alex, you got a little bit of static. See if you can call back in and we can pipe him back through, guys. His phone, his connection was a little bad. Let's go to Richard. Richard, welcome to the David Knight Show.
Morning. I just wanted to kind of back up a little bit and discuss the fact that hopefully the president is looking into the origin of the embassy attack. Because to me, I think, you know, the CIA has a mix of conservative and liberal people there. And I personally think this was one of their little sick Hitlerian agreements where the neocons there said, well, if we allow them to attack the embassy, then either we get a Benghazi or we get a war. And so, you know, I think this was personally one of their little games like that. And the reason I think that is because the Green Zone is the most secure embassy in the world. So for an attack
right.
to happen there, it had to have been either done.
Nope, we lost him. Let's go to Jefferson before we go to the break. Jefferson, welcome to David Knight Show.
Hey, how you doing? I've been worried about this for a long time, which is I think the left and the Chinese, the people that want world government, the way you have to do that, to achieve that is to get the United States into a war with Russia. Now, I don't know if this Iran thing would result in that, but you just never know where things go. And that's kind of where my mind is going, that there could be, you know, false flags that implicate Russia, that implicate Iran. I mean, what do you think about that angle?
Look, I mean, the corruption here and Iran being used by the deep state and as a pawn to affect global policy, and we can clearly see that's happening. You talk about the pallets of cash given by the Obama administration and the links, and of course John Kerry violating the Logan Act continually without being prosecuted by going there and doing the backdoor diplomacy and everything that's happening. It's hard to tell really who's your enemy here when you have forces inside the government working, especially through intelligence communities, sources and so on. And when you're conducting that kind of diplomacy, when you're transferring that much cash through the Obama administration, it's hard for me to think that there's not some fusion there between some sort of rogue elements and the Iranian government. And so when you're taking out the general Soleimani here, I mean, who did he have links with? And that's a really great question. I mean, what this leads to, it's just like I was talking with Alex and saying, we need proportionality. I agree that the president has a responsibility to protect Americans and to protect interests abroad, but it needs to be proportional, and he needs to make sure that he is being, this is a trap that is being laid for him to fall into a wider war.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back to the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. I miss him. I miss the David Knight Show as it should be with David here at the helm, and we hope that he will be here next week, and I'll be tuning in where I should be on the other side of this desk when he doesn't need me. And I'll always be here if he needs me to take a break or spend time with family or whatever he needs to do. But I would rather watch him because I learned so much from studying at the feet of the master. You know, we had plugged a couple of times. I plugged so many different InfoWars products. But before we go to Richard Proctor and a couple of calls, we've got Richard Proctor here in a little bit. Silver Bullet. Okay, Silver Bullet's not just for killing vampires and werewolves. Silver Bullet keeps me from getting sick. And so I take this, especially during the flu seasons, during the cold seasons. And it's amazing. You got to think about the purity in this product. This is a nano silver. This is colloidal silver. I mean, this is something that if you look at what the silver technologies are doing now, they're used to treat the antibiotic-resistant MRSA and staph and these great infections that happened in the hospitals and these horrible diseases that are propping up. Silver is to the rescue. And so I wanted to continue to plug just that product alone. And, of course, I'm on the Brain Force Plus. I popped another Brain Force before I got to the show today to do show prep. And I hope it shows because my brain's firing. I'm on the Patriot Blend Coffee. And I appreciate everybody who's called in today. I appreciate Alex for showing up. And we had that exclusive statement from Alex on the strike from the Trump administration, from Trump against the General Soleimani in Iraq and where that leads. And, of course, we'll see as this all unfolds. This is a very, very tumultuous time. But I wanted to make sure we got through the calls. Terry had dropped early. Let's go to Terry in Minnesota.
Hey, Tony,
welcome
again,
back.
Thank you for your service. Let me get right into this. I've talked to many people, including Alex, on Friday again. And I told Alex because we didn't have enough time to finish the conversation, but I believe that the Trump is compromised in part. And what I mean by in part is this, is that you've actually got a Christian in the White House, and it's been a long time, you know, maybe Reagan, you know. And this is what people do when they confront evil. And so it's like you've got all the factions in the world, and Alex knows, you know, you guys all know what's going on, and most of the audience knows what's going on. But you know, when you bring in scripture to current events, it's pretty hard not to see what's really going on. And it's like there's another wounded combat veteran that I'm not sure, Tony, if you ever heard of. I would highly encourage you to check the guy out. Basically, he heads the largest Christian church on the planet, non-denominational. His name's Arnold Murray. He was a Korean War vet at the Chosin Reservoir, but enough of that. One more thing. He brings the Bible to a level of Dick and Jane understanding, and I'm sorry, but you know as well as I know, the average church-going person, you cannot just stop and talk to the average church-going person and have a conversation about even the overview. Because nobody knows anything.
Well, Christian scripture is really important in these times. I mean, it's in all times, really. But as we look at this possibility of escalating into a wider war, you have to think about peaceful resolutions. And of course, we live on planet Earth, as you know, Terry. I mean, you and I are probably both very much realist. War is inevitable. It's just part of human nature. It's part of our story. But wars that don't often have to go into, continued escalations, they don't have to be perpetual. They are something that we have to face. But you are right when you're talking about a scripture and, there is that Christian ethos. We need to go back to studying that because staying out of these protracted wars, and you think about the choice the president has to make here, it's a very tough one. You can't allow American targets to be continually under bombardment. We can't have another Benghazi. You can't have that treason. But at the same time, you don't want to have Iraq War III, where you just, giving all the deep state the money, the military industrial complex, the surveillance state, all the power to the government, all the rest, all the horrible ills that befell us because of those wars of choice. You don't want that. You think about the psychopaths that like these wars. Whenever you've been like I have, and you've seen, the civilian casualties, you've seen the apartments buildings blown up, you've seen the medical facilities blown up, you've seen children displaced, you've seen the victims of roadside bombs, and you've seen the collateral damage. And everything that is the horrible, horrible tolls of war. You don't go to these, you don't jump to that very readily. You don't just snap to attention and say, we're going to go to the next war and the next war, and we're happy and giddy about it. No, you're very, very, very skeptical. But, Terry, I really appreciate your call. We can go to Aaron in New York.
Hello, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Aaron. Thanks for calling.
Well, I saw you talking about the colloidal silver, and I thank you for your service. I'm ex-military myself. The wound gel is great. I've been using it when I get a cut. I live in the mountains, so anytime you get scraped and cut, you know, a little dirt could make it go south of cheese, and throw some of that silver on there, and you're good to go.
That's a great product. I have two tubes of that at home, and I use it all the time. I mean, you just can't really say enough about the InfoWars products, and, you know, they have so much research behind them and the purity of the products and the quality of them. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, as far as health is concerned, I'm in much better shape than I was at 37, 36 years old. I just turned 40. There's a reason. It's because of the InfoWars products. So many of them are wonderful, whether you're talking about the X2, whether you're talking about the iodine, the colloidal silvers, the toothpaste. I mean, it's just an amazing, it's, you know, and it's a great, what genius that is. When you don't have to really worry about sponsors, you're self-sponsored. It's one of the ways I do my program, but I learned that by mirroring InfoWars, because they, you know, they give you a chance to support the InfoWar. They give you a chance to support free speech, Americana, 1776 worldwide, and all you have to do is buy great products. I mean, and you're buying products that are not.
1776. I'm calling from Youngstown, Lewiston, New York, just 100 yards from where the British landed in 1812 at Fort Niagara. A lot of history here. And yes. Just to imagine being under siege from British forces for 19 days at the fort. It's sacred ground up here. And New York City doesn't speak for us here in rural New York. And just like Denver doesn't speak for us in rural Colorado.
I've served with a lot of folks from rural New York, and they're great patriots all around the United States. You know, the big cities rarely speak for any of us, Aaron. So
Roger that, sir.
I appreciate your service.
I sent in my application. Hopefully I could join the fight at InfoWars. It's in your inbox. And
I'm sure they'll check that out. I appreciate your call. Appreciate your listenership and your service, Aaron. Thank you. Well, folks, this is the David Knight Show. Richard Proctor on the other side of the break. I appreciate everyone who called in, but I'm going to have to go ahead and we'll have to clear the phone lines because the amazing Richard Proctor, bathroomeconomics.com. We spoke back on the 20th of December when I was hosting, filling in for David. And I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation today. You know, he's got a great resume, and he makes radio easy. When you're talking to Richard Proctor, you know, regular talk radio could be like driving a tractor down the highway. He turns it into a Cadillac with leather seats and cruise control. So on the other side of the break, Richard Proctor, bathroomeconomics.com. Don't miss it. This is The David Knight Show. I am your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. And don't forget the best deals of 2019 going into 2020, the mega clearance blowout sale up to 75% off, plus free shipping, a BrainForce Plus, Knockout, Ultra 12, all 60% off, many, many more, and all the products that I love, InfoWarsStore.com. Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for David proudly. It's always an honor, but like I said, I'm ready for David to be back at the helm. I am ready for his knowledge and his wisdom and to help guide me through a lot of the issues of our time. It helps me with my program. And we sure miss David, want him back, and we'll hopefully see him next week. Richard Proctor is on the line, bathroomeconomics.com. One of my favorite people to talk to since the 20th of December, because we had such a marvelous conversation last time. Richard, do I have you on the line?
You bet. I'm right here, ready to go.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, I didn't even ask the crew what you wanted to talk about. I was just going to bring you on the line, and it would seem like it would be something that you were just so good at, is steering the conversation into something that's on your mind. What's going on with you?
Well, what's been on my mind most the last couple of weeks is this business of the people of the United States being disfranchised from voting. Let's just look at something that's going on. You guys are aware of, I mean the national audience, of the national popular vote called the NPV. Literally, that is destroying the franchise of our voting population for president. Bottom line is, think about it for a moment. There are only two elections at the federal level in the United States, president and vice president. Those are the only two. Everybody else that's elected is a state, local election. Everybody else. So when they take away our president voting power, they've taken away everything that we can do in the federal government. That's just too important for us to lose. The national popular vote is just very simply, we're going to change all of the votes of our state to whatever the popular vote is. And I just listened to a guy mentioning that we are not anything like, we're in the rural countries, not anything like the big cities. But it's the big cities that are going to determine that national vote. So when the big cities determine that, every rural election has been nullified if their state passes this national popular vote stuff. It is an absolute horror.
It really is. It's really dangerous territory. When you talk about eliminating even the Electoral College, all the checks and balances set up by our founding fathers, the framers, they knew the tyranny of the mob. They knew that democracy, I think it was Alexander Hamilton said that democracies were as short in their lifespan as they were violent in their deaths. This is something that we aren't a democracy, as our elites always like to tout. Because democracy always usually ushers in some sort of totalitarian socialism, which they use as a vehicle, as you know, Richard.
Oh, yes, absolutely. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. Very yes. Precisely that. And all those wolves are going to do is eat up the sheep. And we're the sheep. Okay? That's us. The wolves are these elite guys running around trying to pretend like they can do the whole thing better than we can. It's like in economics. Everybody says, oh, yeah, well, we can fix that. We can fix that. If you just let the market work, it will work and everything will straighten out. If they just let the Constitution work as it was originally ratified, everything would straighten out. It's like all these groups around the country, they're ignoring the Constitution, trying to find another way to do it. Oh, we'll change the Electoral College. We'll do it this way. Oh, let's do it this way. Let's do that. It's like taking a bunch of square wheels and driving your tractor down the road. I mean, come on. We are losing our country. We talked a few minutes. I heard the ad just a minute ago about Ebola vaccination. Oh, my laws. How stupid could we get? Would we allow that? But we, the rural people, don't have any choice because the big cities control us. And
it's the tyranny of the majority. And this was everything about our founding was to resist that. It was to obstruct that. And it was to keep freedom safe. You keep it a safe away from the tyranny of the mob. Jim Mars, the journalist, said, if you want to see democracy in action, look at a lynch mob.
Yeah.
And that's what we're witnessing. And of course, the elites, Richard, They've really been brilliant. I mean, conservatives on our side, we haven't had the smartest people. We've been infiltrated by leftists and Trotskyites and the neocons. So conservatism as a whole has been really misdirected. But I mean, if you look at what the globalists and the left has been able to do with mass immigration, ushering in their permanent underclass, and then they chip away at these, the Electoral College, they chip away at states' rights and all the rest. They're doing all that they can to get that coast to coast California.
You bet. Now, if we just all of us rural, honest Constitution people, and there's a lot of us, if we would band together, okay, and realize the power the states have, I mean, the states are in charge. The state legislatures, the state governors, they're in charge. We need to elect people there who are honest, upright folks, and let's get this government back in shape. The states can do it if they just would. The states have more power than the federal government. It's been that way since it was ratified, and all that's been happening for the last 200 years is chipping away at states' rights to prevent them from being able to exercise their power. The most powerful part of our union is the states. I mean, I get all excited about some of these issues. I really do.
These are the great issues of our time. Because, you know, Richard, if we permanently lose our ability to protest and have a safe haven from the federal government, from the tyranny of the central government, and we've lost everything because there is no further out west to go. There's no refuge. We have to reassert ourselves in these local elections, state elections, to put people in place that will say, hey, we don't recognize your tyranny. We don't recognize your authority and constitutionally.
Absolutely. The states could nullify everything that's not in accordance with the Constitution. They could nullify it all. I mean, there's some people running around trying to do a con-con, okay? Now, that's a constitutional convention. They changed the name to call it the Convention of the States, or a Convention of the States, because that phrase is in the Constitution, Article 5. But they're not doing what a Convention of the States is. A Convention of the States is people selected by the people in their state, voting in their state, living in their state, doing the meetings in their state. Nothing ever anywhere. Alabama state, I don't know, it's a nice state down in the South. If it chose to, it could have a convention. And if it chose to have that convention, 100% just them, just their state, they could form their state the direction they wanted it to go. Now, I'm not suggesting that people do that kind of thing. What I'm suggesting is you use the Constitution we've got, which is already established by conventions of states back in 1788.
So you don't need to change the Constitution. I mean, what you need to do is follow it.
Absolutely.
And that's what I always tell the people that are for a constitutional convention, this con-con idea. I just say, hey, look, the Constitution, our leaders need to follow it. They don't follow it now. If they did, we'd be a lot freer, a lot more prosperous, and a lot more safe. My guest is Richard Proctor, bathroomeconomics.com. This is The David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. We'll be right back.
Engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. This is The David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, filling in for David, on the line with Richard Proctor, bathroomeconomics.com. We were talking about the national popular vote. We were talking about the Electoral College. We're talking about all of the things, all the issues that are surrounding the takeover of the United States by the globalists, and that is the push for absolute democracy and the wiping out of checks and balances that are, well, the bedrock of what keeps us free, the Constitution, the bulwarks against the tyranny of the majority. So welcome back, Richard.
Yes. You know, I was listening to the advertisement that Dave was just doing about the Ebola assault. You know, we should be quaking in our boots about things like this. Ebola is one of the worst things there is, like the plagues of Europe. Now, how do you fight against that? Well, you fight against it by banding together and following the Constitution. The Constitution gives the states the right to keep their borders safe. It's in Article 6. It gives the people the rights to keep their borders safe. And that's one of the things we need to worry about. We've got to get back to the state power again, like it's supposed to be. I mean, the tenth amendment says everything that isn't listed in this constitution that is federal, everything that's not listed in this constitution is for the states. Everything. And the one before it, the ninth amendment, says people have right, even if the rights aren't listed here, you have them just because you have all the inalienable rights. I mean, that's where the Constitution is. 9 and 10 spell it out. We've got to protect ourselves against this kind of onslaught. Gardasil, oh my. You know, it was based entirely to control population. That's the goal. And this Ebola assault will be the same thing. Control the population. The elite's goal is to cut the population by 95%. I don't know who's going to be in the 5%, but I suspect I won't be. You know, we've got to do something about this before we have lost everything, and it's going to be really tough to get it back. Right now, we can do something if we would just band together as rural people, as honest Constitution people, we just band together. In my book, Saving the Constitution, I have a 5-step process how we can get our states back from the federal government. I mean, it's in the conclusion. It's listed out. It's a process. It's not easy. Oh, no, it won't be easy, but it could be done. And we've got to do something. It's hard, good. Hard stuff is good. You know, I want to make a statement here that I think is very important. The Constitution should be considered like Scripture. It's the foundation of our government and our society. It should be considered like Scripture. And if you get technical on that, you'd say that the articles are all books, and the sections are all chapters, and the paragraphs are all verses. And you could list it out like Scripture. And we should know it like we know Scripture.
It is the closest thing to Holy Writ outside of the Bible, and because if you followed it, like you say, if you followed it, it is a prescription for freedom. It is a prescription for liberty and humanity, and that's the reason why our elites don't follow it. I mean, it's because it would allow too much freedom, too much power in the hands of the people, the sovereign people, and not in the bloated leviathan that is our government today. I mean, you know, Richard, if you look now in 2020, which is the year 2020 now, the argument for federalism versus anti-federalism, my goodness, I would say that states' rights and localism is the future if you want to have an America, if you want to have a republic. The bloated centralization of power has failed. That has been weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you think about when did the elites begin this onslaught of the Constitution? That's an interesting question. When did they begin? Well, it was in 1790, okay, when they took a census and did not go by the Constitution for the number of representatives per state. 1790, the ink wasn't even dry. I mean, it was 18 months after the ratification date, give or take a little. And here we have a violation, a significant violation. The Constitution is very clear in Article 1. 30,000 people are represented by one representative in Congress. 30,000. The discussion in the convention was between 50 and 60 and 70 and lesser numbers. The little states, smaller states, they wanted a smaller number because then they'd have more people in the representation. But in the big states, they wanted to have big numbers because then they would have the most in it. It would kind of work like this. If the number was 100,000, a big state with 100,000 would have one. And with 200,000 would have two. With 300,000 would have four. The small states wouldn't even have gotten to 100,000 yet.
And it's the numbers are shocking now, Richard. I mean, I ran for Congress in 2014, 13. And I think the congressional district was like 800,000 people.
That's right. That's what it is. That's what it averages out to, 800,000. 800,000. That's why nobody listens. They don't need to. They get a war chest from the powers that be. The elite make sure they get a war chest. Now they can have all the advertisement they want. They can put themselves out in front, make all the promises that they're going to violate the minute they take office. And everybody just suckers right into it. A politician is a blood-sucking tick. Anyway.
nothing wrong about that at all. And we that has certainly played out over our lifetimes in the history of this republic, what's left of it. And of course, I think you're right, though. I mean, banding together, more of a spirit of localism. I always say on my show, the way forward is backwards. And that is looking at the past.
Yes. Yes. You know, I was at a group last night giving a presentation, and I sat down with these folks. We were sitting. It wasn't a huge group, about 20 people. Not many. It doesn't matter. And we sat down and read the Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 3. Now, that's the one that the 12th Amendment wrecked. Is that the right word, wrecked? I have other words I'd like to use, but they bastardized it, they wrecked it, they destroyed Article 2, paragraph, Section 1, Paragraph 3. It was completely destroyed by the 12th Amendment. I do know why. It was the influence of the media, stuff like that that got it passed, and lies. But if you look down and you just read the words one at a time and see what it says, even the very, very first line says, the electors shall meet in their respective states. I'll be darned. Here we have 9 words about that, and it already was violated, and it's been violated by every election we've had. The electors shall meet in their respective states. That's the very first line. That wasn't tough to understand. Then it says, and vote by ballot for 2 persons. Now, that's not tough either. That means that they're not doing any decisions like we're doing today. One of those people shall not be an inhabitant of the state with themselves. That's the next phrase. So that means you vote, nominate for 2 people. One must be outside your state. Both can be outside your state, but one must be. Then the next line goes on, and they shall make a list of all the persons that were voted for. Then they're going to certify that with the numbers and send it to the Senate, the president of the Senate. He's going to open those sealed envelopes. Now, I'm paraphrasing. It's long to read. And they're going to count all the votes. And they're going to elect them, how it's going to be done or the next things. And everything's covered on all the different possibilities that might occur in the election of the president.
Hold that thought, Richard. We'll be right back. This is the David Knight Show. This is Tony Arbour filling in for the great David Knight. We'll be right back after the break. Bye. Welcome back to the David Knight Show. I'm your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight, last segment of the show. It is January 3rd, 2020, new decade, new year. And if you have made resolutions to be a better you in this new year, new decade, a lot of the chances of becoming a better you lie in InfoWarsStore.com, where you can look at some of the products that are amazing, can turn your health, your well-being, your mental acuity around. Now, I always tell the story, and one of my plugs is that being a veteran of 3 foreign wars, you know, I was part of the first Army unit on the ground in Afghanistan after the 9/11 attacks, and I was in Kandahar, Afghanistan. I was part of the tail end of the invasion of Iraq. I spent a year in northern Iraq and Mosul, exposed to a lot, went through a lot of high stress, and, of course, the vaccines and everything else. This was a very crazy time, not to mention just the dust and the pollution and all of that. It fuses, and it creates a different chemical makeup for your body. It wasn't until years later when I started using the X2, and I'm a huge fan of the atomic iodine. Amazing product, and I fused that with BrainForce Plus, the Ultra 12, the B12, because you need that for your immune system, and I use the X2. And that's kind of my little trio. And, of course, I've been talking today about the colloidal silvers, the silver bullet. All these are great products. And when you really get a win-win, that 360 win that Alex Jones talks about, because you're supporting the last bastion of free speech. You're supporting the true Americana, the independent media. This is where you can get the greatest information, the best information, the weapons-grade truth that I talk about all the time. And that's what you need. So a better you starts, a new resolution starts at InfoWarsStore.com. That right now you've got the mega clearance blowout sale. And I just want to do one more plug before I ended the show here with Richard Proctor. 75% off plus free shipping. This is a great deal because I buy all these products. 60% off BrainForce, 50% off the Super Blue Fluoride Free Toothpaste, Ultra 12, 60% off the Krill Oil. These are all amazing products. InfoWarsStore.com. So support the InfoWar and this great crew. And I can tell you, I'm not part of InfoWars. I'm only a volunteer, happily. But this is, history is happening here. You can feel it in the air. For them to have survived the onslaught of the globalist attacks to not only shut them down, but to silence their constitutional free speech, and to see them roaring back and putting new shows and new journalists out, it's really, really inspiring. So in this 2020, commit to InfoWars, commit to InfoWars Store. The guest I have on the line, Richard Proctor. Richard, you always make radio, like I said, it's like, you know, driving a tractor is conventional talk radio, and then you're like a Cadillac with cruise control.
I just talk a lot, that's all.
But it's great information. I can get callers that talk a lot, Richard, but I mean, you've actually got something to say. I'm learning while you're talking.
Let's go back to the Article 2 again, like we were talking about just a minute ago. We talked about what electors are supposed to do. How many should there be? Well, now, that's a good question. Article 1, Section 3, says that there's supposed to be one for every 30,000 people. And it's very, very, very clear. It says it right there. One for every 30,000. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000. Well, that's very clear. I don't understand why it's so hard. So let's see what actually happened. 1790, the official population was 3,900,000. We had, officially, 69 representatives. How many should we have had? 131. Let's go to 1830. There were 12 million. How many representatives did we have? 213. How many should we have had? 428. 1900, 76 million people. We had 357. We should have had 2,541. 1920, 106 million. We had 435. We should have had 3,535. Now, if you think about those numbers, how they grow, what's happened to us? The way the government, the elite, controlled us was by limiting the number of people we could have representing us. That was the first step. It started in 1790, and it's just grown. It was in 1929 that they decided they would not go above 435, and we haven't. So now, I mean, year 2000, 281 million, we had 435. We should have had 9,381.
How do you think that we could take, what's a path that we could take, Richard, to bring that to some sort of political conclusion where we go to a more constitutional, a more proportionate role for our representatives? That would really decentralize power. How could we even get that done?
Well, remember, I mentioned in my book, Saving the Constitution, in the conclusion, I had my second step, if I'm remembering right, it's the second step. There's five steps. The second step says set up districts and elect your right number of representatives. Utah would have 100 plus. So we set up 100 districts in the state of Utah and have each one of them elect, it's 30,000 or less, it can't be more than 30,000, each one elect a representative. Send those guys back to Congress. Say, here we are. Now, just a minute. Congress would say, just a minute, we're not going to seat. You're authorized four. Get out of here. You can't have 100. Why not? Well, because we have a rule that says you can't. Your rule doesn't supersede the Constitution. The Constitution says we're authorized 100, and here we are.
Oh, I'd love to see that Supreme Court. But I'd love to see that battle. I'd love to see that carried out and fought over. Because, look, you know, decentralization is key to liberty. As we, I mean, we're all seeing the disaster that is the bloated Leviathan, the federal government, the perpetual war-making machine, the deficit-making machine, prints the money out of thin air and has no connection to the people whatsoever. I more representatives fine with me, Richard.
Now Utah wouldn't seat those 100. I know that. I know that. It couldn't be done. But guess what would happen? Do you think that Idaho and Montana and Virginia and these other states seeing Utah doing that, because it wouldn't be hidden, they say, these guys are going to have a one for every 30,000? What's that going to leave us? Well, Utah would be the most powerful state in the nation. What are we going to do? We're going to do that too. And they would do it. And if all the states, or at least all the states that are important to the Constitution, if all the states who cared about the Constitution did that, it would work. And we would take the government. We would begin to take the government back.
We have to hang together or we'll all hang separately, and that's what it looks like in the future of liberty and human freedom. And, you know, Jefferson was right. I mean, the decentralization of power, that the only way to really have a republic is in the smallness, the limitation of it, the size, and that's, you've really got to go back to that. And so you're really hitting on some major themes. The bigness of the, you know, the dismantling of the Electoral College, that bulwark against the tyranny of the mob, is so necessary for the globalists to take absolute power over the United States. That's why they push it, the one man, one vote, democracy worship. I call it the cult of democracy. It's Pandora's ballot box, because once you open it, a lot of ill is going to come out of that deal.
Yes, it will.
And I look to the Constitution, much like you, because that's the wisdom is in the checks and balances.
Yes, and if people want to see those statistics, they're in my volume 6 of my Liberty series. Anybody can look at them and see them, along with all the other things that I recommend that we do as a federal, to fix the federal government. And I've got about 30 things in that list of different things that we should do. Saving the Constitution gives all the information about how to do it. The article of Volume 6 gives information about what to do. Anyway,
well, I tell people to go to your website, bathroomeconomics.com. I'm sure they can get a copy of your work there and other volumes of your work, and it's really important in our time to learn about our past. As I say, you know, to the way forward is backwards. We have to be rooted in our history and to restore the republic for the 1776 worldwide. You have to learn about 1776.
Yes. Now, I just wanted to give the people a reference if they're interested, so they know I'm not just talking off the top of my head.
Okay, I appreciate you, Richard. My guest has been Richard Proctor, bathroomeconomics.com. This has been the David Knight Show. I am your host, Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. Hopefully he'll be back next week. Thanks for everyone for joining us today. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show is up next. See you guys next time.